The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We call him Jesus, but we know our Father is Jehovah. And Lord, we recognize that the God we serve is three in one. God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And for that, we say thank you. We thank you for our soul salvation. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for your protecting us. We thank you for your keeping us. We thank you for the fact that we are here in spite of ourselves. Now, Father God, we've come to the point of our worship service, and this has been worship. But Lord, now we need to hear a word from you. If we ever needed to hear a word before, truly we need it right now. It is not to say that you have not been giving us words along the way, but Lord, this is a new day. So we need a fresh word. We need a fresh rhema word. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would shower down your word. Now, the seed is good. So right now, we prepare our hearts to receive your word. Now, Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, that God hide me, that you would be seen, and silence me, that you would be heard. Because you said that my sheep know my voice. We need to hear your voice. And you said they follow me. Lord, we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray, let every heart say amen. Today we will continue on in our summer series, Christian Survival Training 101, Intending to Live. We started this about three Sundays ago, and we had our intro, and we're grateful to God. And then after that, we had our first installment, the Biblical Principles for Stress Management. Last week, we talked about the Biblical Principles for how to handle conflict. Now we have our next installment, which we will announce, but it's going to come from the book of Judges, chapter 13. Book of Judges, chapter 13. Going to start at the third verse. I'm going to read through verse 5, and I'm actually going to add one more verse, so if you just have your Bible, you can follow right along. So I'm going to read Judges chapter 13, verses 3 through 5 initially, and then I'm going to jot down and I'll go ahead and add verse 24 for my introduction. The New American Standard Bible says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman," Samson's mother, that's added for emphasis, but that's who the woman is, "and said to her, 'Behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, ye shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines.'" Now go ahead and drop down to verse 24 so we can introduce you to this son. It says, "Then the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. And the child grew up and the Lord blessed him." It's a powerful, powerful passage about a man of God. But yet on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider our subject, Biblical Principles for how to live beyond our mistakes. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Biblical principles for how to live beyond our mistakes. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, this sermon series is entitled Christian Survival Training 101, Intending to Live. And with that intending to live, what the thought behind that is this, is how do you intend to live? Now, what we have to see, our theme for the year is 365 days of possibilities. And the reason why that's significant is because each day that the Lord blesses us, we have to see as a new day. It can't be simply another day, because then you will have no expectation that your new day will be like any other than before. I know yesterday is gone and tomorrow's not promised, and I know all we have is today. But you have to have an expectation that if the Lord allows you to live to see tomorrow, then you have to have an expectation that your tomorrow will be better than your today. But in your today, you have to live with an expectation that your today will be better than your yesterday. But that comes with intention. So how do you intend to live? In other words, how do you plan? How do you mean to? How do you have an intention? How do you have in mind? What is your hope or your desire towards your expectation of living? How do you intend to live? And so I've been having a tagline here, and I've been asking a question, who's in? And the reason I ask that question Sunday after Sunday, because this is biblical training. I talked about training. And y'all know how we start out in training, huh? We start out saying what we intend to do. There's a whole lot of folk who have good intentions. Come on, somebody. I intended to go work out yesterday. Come on, somebody. Did it work out? Don't y'all talk to me about that. But we all have good intentions. So I have to ask Sunday to Sunday, who's in? Because some folk may not be ready to continue on with the training. So let me ask by a show of hands, who's in? Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, I know. Now, listen. Conditioned in church. They say stand, we what? We say raise our hands, we what? Yeah, we say clap, we what? So I asked who's in. And I raised my hand and you all, but don't say you're in if you're not in. Huh? Because it's not about me. This is about each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. Let me start out by saying as an introduction to this message that I'm glad, I don't know about you, but Sister Erica, I'm glad that I live in the age of computers that have spell check. Amen. And it's not that I'm a bad speller. As a matter of fact, I take a lot of pride in my spelling. It's just that sometimes I type a little fast. Amen. And I don't see and I don't catch everything right away. So I'm thankful for spell check. Of course, most of us are familiar with spell check. Amen. I mean, you've experienced it either in your Word documents, but they now have embedded it in your email. Amen. And even in your text messages. Now, here's the thing, though. Some of us have what they call autocorrect, right? And have you ever had to fuss with autocorrect? I mean, you typing. Now, you done jacked up the spelling, so it autocorrects, and it puts a whole nother word in there. But you didn't see that they put a whole new word in there, and you still typing. So you got autocorrect. So sometimes you got to correct that. Amen. But then if the autocorrect doesn't get it, because sometimes the autocorrect can't even guess what you're trying to put in there. So then it'll just leave the word and it'll just put a red squiggly line up under it. That's a highlight that says something is misspelled here. Something is wrong. Amen. So then you click on that and you can go a little deeper in spell check. And so what it does is it'll give you some suggestions because they don't know what it is that you're trying to say. But even with that, sometimes that doesn't work. So Deacon McFarland, there are times when even the autocorrect and the squiggly line doesn't work, and I guess what I got to do? I got to go old school and go to a dictionary. Yeah, I still have a dictionary. Amen. Because sometimes I can't be online. Amen. Because if I was, I'd just throw it in Google. And you know what Google does? When they can't understand everything, they say, is this what you meant? In other words, what I'm saying is that there are times when sometimes things will try to catch us and try to fix things for us along the way. But after a while, you're going to get to a point to where you might have to go to another source. Going somewhere with this. So I got to asking myself, well, you know, not only are the times when the word is spelled so badly, I got to wonder, what if there was spell check, Deacon Clark, for daily living? What do you mean, Pastor King? Some of y'all laughing. Be careful, huh? Huh? I'm talking about something that would correct you along the way, day to day. You know, sometimes it would just fix stuff, Finley, automatically as you went along. Or sometimes it would just underline the mistakes and let you know of your errors and maybe give you some options. How many of you wish you knew you had some options? Amen, amen. But when things really get bad, you realize that you're going to have to go to another source to fix that. Am I talking to anybody here? Be careful with the question. Who has not made a mistake in their life? Raise your hand if you've never made a mistake in your life. Now I looked around. Some of y'all almost didn't understand the question. Some of y'all was like, did he say make mistakes or never made? No. I said, raise your hand if you've never made a mistake. And the question is, all of us have made a mistake or two or three. There are some mistakes that I've made that I wish I could just easily fix on the spot, and I have. Others are not so easy. But it's those big mistakes, I'm talking to somebody, it's those big mistakes that haunt us. They come around, then it's like the ghost of Christmas past. And they come back and they let us know and they constantly remind us of what we did wrong. So today we want to look at a man who made some pretty big mistakes in his life, and his name was Samson. Samson, of course, was a ruler judge of Israel for 20 years. He seemed to have everything going for him. Yet, and I heard somebody say this morning, so I was interested, I smiled. Samson had so much going for him, yet he was his own worst enemy. He made some huge mistakes during his lifetime. He had supernatural strength. He had good looks. He had God working in his life. But even that, Griffith, even with all of that going for him, that did not keep him from blowing it over and over, time and time again. As a matter of fact, he brought all kind of trouble on himself. So in this message, we're not only going to look at and highlight Samson's mistakes, but what we need to do from a biblical application and life application is we need to draw from it. We're not just here telling biblical stories. We got to draw from it. So there's some principles here that we're going to draw from together. And if we just seek to apply these principles, we are never going to be mistake-free in this life. Matter of fact, I need to release somebody and tell you, quit trying to be perfect. But we can make less mistakes. We won't make as many mistakes if we live with some principles. And it's not just knowing about them. We got all kind of knowledge. We need to apply them. Amen. And the four things we're going to hit on quickly today are this. Number one, we're going to have to learn from our mistakes. Number two, we're going to talk about a principle, choose your friends wisely. Number three, we're going to have to take God seriously. And number four, never give up on God. The story of Samson's life can be found in the book of Judges, chapters 13 through verse 16. Now, I'm going to ask that you have your Bibles. If you brought them, I'm going to ask that you keep them open. Amen. Because you're going to need it just for your own biblical reference. Amen. Judges chapter 13 through Judges chapter 16. Now, of course, we're not going to read all of those this morning. This is impossible. But again, I chose the verses that I chose to read because I wanted us to look at his birth and then talk about his life. All right? Again, we find in Judges chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, we find that Samson had a supernatural birth. I'm going to read it again. It says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, again, who's Samson's mother, and said to her, behold, now you are barren and born no children. But you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall be given to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistine. Why did I start there? Because we need to see right from the start that this child has promise. He has promise. He's going to have a supernatural birth, and he was born with a mission. God was going to use him, per the scriptures, to deliver his people out of the hands of the Philistines. Then, of course, in verse 24, we're introduced to him when it said that she did give birth, just like God said. She named him Samson. And the Bible says in verse 24 that he grew up and the Lord blessed him. But hear me when I say this. Watch this. As Samson grew up, his moral character went down. So not everybody, listen, there's some boys walking around in men's clothing. And there's some girls walking around in women's clothing. Not everybody that grows up chronologically grows up in their character. Amen. Even Paul himself said, listen, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child, I thought as a child. He said, but when I became a man, or when I became old, and it doesn't give an age, he said, I had to put away childish things. And there's some folk, grown folk, who hadn't put away childish things. Lord, help me to stand tall. Samson grew up. His more character went down. Samson had some problems in his life. Matter of fact, Samson had some big problems in his life that he had to deal with. Now, I can't go through them all, and I'm not here to pick on Samson. Samson is in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is asking us to illuminate from this. And what the Holy Spirit will show us is two problems that we're going to highlight today that Samson had. Listen to me. Two big problems he had anger problems and he had lust problems. And unfortunately, he never learned to control either one of them. And as a result, they plagued him his whole life. And not only did they plague him, it actually caused him his downfall. Now, the reason I'm careful sometimes saying everything that we're going to talk about is because some folk listen, and when they hear what they think they want to hear or don't hear, they check out the message. So, okay, Pastor King, I heard you say we're going to talk about anger and lust. Well, I don't have those problems. So I'm going to check out and let you talk to the rest of these folk who got them kind of problems. Folk do that in the message. Y'all do know that. If they don't hear their problem, they'll think, Deacon McFarland, that they don't have problems. Well, I don't mean no harm, but that's why the Holy Spirit gave me this series, because all of us need to face some truth about ourselves. And the truth is, we all got problems. We all got some flaws. We all have some faults. We all just got some things that we need to fix. So be careful. Do me a favor. Shake your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, be careful wearing your halo too tight. You got folk in church worried about dresses that are too tight, suits that are too tight, shirts that are too tight, and they ain't worried about the halo they got on that's too tight. Samson had problems. Two, that we're going to hit is Samson had an anger problem. Samson often got angry. In other words, he frequently had blow-ups. Primary motive for his actions was revenge. The Bible tells us that at one time Samson killed 30 men because he lost a bet. Turn over, that's why I don't want you to close your Bible. Turn over to Judges chapter 14. The Bible says he killed 30 men so he could take the possessions and pay off a bet. Judges 14, verses 12, and then in verse 19. Is this in there? Yeah, he had anger problems. Another time, the Bible says that Samson got so mad that he caught 300 foxes. He tied them all together, put torches between them, lit the torches on fire, let the foxes go, and he set some fields ablaze. Now I'm in Judges 15, 1 through 5. I want y'all to walk with me through the text. He set some fields ablaze. Why? Because he was angry and he wanted to get even. The Bible says that it burned up the standing grain along the vineyards and the groves. Now, you gotta know that not everybody lets you off the hook, because revenge begets revenge. So because of the fire and what Samson did, the Bible says there were some men who killed Samson's ex-wife and her father. So then Samson got angry again. And do you know what he did? Again, right there in chapter 15, this time jump down to verse 8. The Bible says that he swore, who Jesus, he swore that he would take revenge on her death. And he says that he says he struck him ruthlessly, according to NASB, with great slaughter. Matter of fact, the Message translation translates Judges 15, verse 8 like this. It says he tore into him and ripped him from limb to limb. It was a great slaughter. Wait a minute, I'm talking about anger. Y'all think folk got anger. Y'all ain't seen anger management issues. Then later in Judges, same chapter, Judges 15, drop down to verse 16. The Bible says that he killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey. What are you trying to emphasize, Pastor King? I'm trying to show you this brother's problem with his anger that he never dealt with. Listen, he was a strong man. Watch this. He was a strong man. Some of y'all sisters looking at strong men. But he was a strong man with a temper. Now take the strong man out. Let's just bring us in. Do y'all know anybody who has a temper? Be careful. Don't say no names. Huh? Y'all know anybody with a temper? I mean, nice enough people until you make them mad. Nice enough people, but they got a temper. Faithful, but they have a temper. But that's not all. Wait a minute. He didn't just have an anger problem. Samson had a problem with lust. Now, I'm going to fix this one in a minute, too. Oh, yeah, he was physically strong, but morally weak. Now, I just said it, and some of y'all checked out. Because I said Samson had a problem with lust, and I done heard some of the sanctimony. The Bible says, I'm still in the Word of God. I'm going to get to the message in a minute. The Bible says, go back to chapter 14 in Judges. Go back. The Bible says in Judges 14, verse 1, the Bible says that Samson saw a Philistine girl and he wanted her. She looked good to him, so he took her as his wife. Now, I'm going to call on Greg, but for no other reason, I just need some help with the sermon. Come on, somebody. Greg, you've heard me say this before. And I know when we hear lust, we think one-track mind. But listen. I don't care. You've heard me say, I don't care if it's LaDon, four wheels, or two heels. All of us in between there got a lust problem. Mm-hmm. Samson's problem just have to be lust. Listen, he lusted for women. Amen. But for somebody else, it might be clothes or material things. Samson saw a Philistine girl and he wanted her. Says she looked good to him. So he took her as his wife. Well, some of y'all wearing suits, dresses, shoes, and driving cars. Mm-hmm. They look good to you. You said, I got to take this home with me today. I got to have this today. This suit ain't staying here, not today. And you shown up, it looked good to you, you brought it home. Mm-hmm. And some of y'all driving cars, that's causing y'all problems right now. Amen. Some of y'all living in houses, that's causing y'all problems right now. Amen. You bought the shoes, they still don't fit, but they look good. Now, it didn't matter that the girl talking about Samson. Didn't matter. I'm in the Word of God. It didn't matter that the girl was not of the tribe of Israel. Didn't matter. Where my young people at? It didn't matter that his parents advised against it. All that mattered to Samson was that this girl looked good and he wanted her. Of course, we know later that she would be killed. But that didn't stop Samson. Because later on, in chapter 16 of Judges, Samson had a relationship with another woman. Amen. Samson said, that ain't going to stop no show. I'm going to kill somebody over my ex-wife, but I ain't done lusting. Come on, somebody. Bible says in chapter 16, he had a relationship with a harlot. Of course, we know her name. Everybody know the harlot's name. It's amazing to me how Samson's whole life story is from Judges 13 through 16. But the only thing folk know about Samson is Delilah. That's all they know. Huh? I've been in church all my life. What you know about Samson? Delilah. That's all the Bible you got? Mm-hmm. Fell in love with Delilah. Of course, then we know later on she would also betray him. As a matter of fact, here's a did you know. Matter of fact, Delilah wasn't the only one that betrayed Samson. His first wife betrayed him. He was betrayed by both of those women. But the thing is, Delilah's betrayal would lead to his death. Here's where I'm going. Samson had a rough life. So yeah, it's easy for us when we look at his story, it's easy for us to sit back like we do in church. It's easy for us to shake our heads. It's easy for us to get sanctimonious, self-righteous. Start wondering how in the world did Samson allow himself to get into all of that trouble? Why didn't he know any better? Why couldn't he be any better to get himself out of the mess? He should have known better. But those are the folk that come in our churches. Because those folk are looking for some help and some hope. Not for some condescending, you should have done better. Look at you, you a mess. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my spirit, and he said, I need for you all to realize that Samson's life actually shows us some common ways that we all can bring troubles on ourselves. Yeah? All of us have some things that cause us some troubles, and these ways are still messing some folk up today. It just doesn't come out. We can dress up real good. But there's some folk who are worried right now because you in a mess. Mm-hmm. And human nature, believe it or not, is universal. So human nature really has not changed even from biblical times. We all tend to fall into the same traps. How many years removed is Samson from Adam? Amen. Amen. Samson made a mess. Here. Samson made a mess of his life because he made mistakes over and over and over again, time and time again. So if we can identify some principles that cause us to make some major mistakes, maybe, just maybe, perhaps we can work out some problems that we're already in and maybe avoid some other mistakes in the future. So here's where I'm going with this. First principle is this. Is we're going to have to learn how to learn from our mistakes. Samson never seemed to learn from his mistakes. My brothers and my sisters, if we don't learn from our mistakes, guess what? That's actually the biggest mistake we can make. I say it again, that if we don't learn from our mistakes, then in essence, that's the biggest mistake we can make. How many of you have ever put your hand on a hot stove? Okay. And what happened when you did that? You got burnt. So did you ever do it again? Wait a minute. On purpose. Yeah. I didn't say by accident. On purpose. We're going to have to learn how to learn from our mistakes. When you have time, go back, and it's not going to be up there for you, but go back and read Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. When you have time, read Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. The NASB says it like this: O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. But I want to challenge you, read Proverbs 8, verse 5, and go read it from the Message translation, and then come back. We're going to have a teach-back session soon. Tell me what that one says, Proverbs 8, verse 5 in the Message translation. Listen, if something burns you, you need to say to yourself, don't do that thing again. Mm-mm. Learn from your mistakes, because if you don't, you may have to repeat them. Second thing is, choose your friends wisely. So somebody's trying to figure out, how does that fit into Samson's story? Learn from your mistakes. I get that one. But help me understand, choose your friends wisely. Well, here it is. Somebody once said that if you want to fly with eagles, you can't hang out with crows. In other words, you eventually become like the people you spend the most time with. And that's okay if that's what you want. But I mean, somebody else once said, if you hang out with chickens, then you gon' cluck. But if you hang out with eagles, you gon' fly. That's why it's important to choose your friends wisely. What does this have to do with Samson? Samson was defeated by bad associations. He had unhealthy, teach Holy Ghost, he had unhealthy relationships, even though God had chosen him for a special task. Samson's birth was a miracle. Before he was even conceived in his mother's womb, when she couldn't even become pregnant, God told her, she's going to have a special son who's going to deliver Israel from the Philistines. So Samson's story was special from the start. But here it is. He had a special start, but the choices he made along the way, the relationships he had, led him astray. Amen. God has a special purpose for everybody in here. Don't think any less of yourself based on where you sit, what your title may or may not be in church. No, ma'am, no, sir. God has a special purpose for each and every one of us, but we get ourselves in trouble when we choose the wrong people to hang with. I got to tell you something, and I'm going to move off this point in a minute. Good friends influence you, yes, but bad friends do too. Amen. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs warns us over and over again. I'm going to give you some scriptures on it. When you have time, write these down. Proverbs 18, 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 22, 24 through 25. Mm-hmm. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. And then Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. I say them again. Proverbs 18, 24. Proverbs 19 and 20. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. Proverbs 24, verse 5, and then Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5 and 6. But here's what I'm going to read for your hearing. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, New Living Translation. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. That's the word of God. Constant exposure to wrong attitudes and wrong values will eventually take its toll on your life. Gravity says this, that it's easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull them up. So I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to move on to my next point. What kind of friends do you have? The kind of friends that bring out the best in you, who lift you up, who encourage you, who make you a better person, who make you want to be a better Christian. Or do you have somebody who's continually pulling you down? Third thing, real quickly, is we're going to have to learn to take God seriously. The problem is, my brothers and my sisters, Samson was careless about his spiritual life. He never really took God serious, or he never got serious about God, and it showed up more ways than one. He was impulsive. He always wanted to do his own thing. He lived for himself. In other words, he had a selfish lifestyle. Very infrequently, except pretty much until he got to the end of his life, did he ever ask God for direction. He just went ahead and did whatever he wanted to do. He lived by this philosophy. Listen, if it feels good, do it. It doesn't matter if people like it or not, agree with it or not. Listen, God is going to still love me how I am, and so should you. And that is true. See, we mix up, God's going to love the person, but that don't mean he loves your behavior. And there are some folk who are confusing person with behavior. And folk want to argue with you over them as a person, but you're trying to talk about behavior. His pattern was careless. Took things for granted. But God's plan was greatness, and that's God's plan for you. You weren't put on this earth by accident. Somebody needs to hear that. He has a purpose, yes, even for your life. The thing is, we will save ourselves from so many problems and so much pain if we would just stop for a moment, just briefly even, and ask God for some direction before we jump into something with both feet and get all messed up. Samson turned to God only when he got in a jam. And that was at the end of his life. To a lot of people, God is just an afterthought. When things get tight and they get tough, then they turn to God in desperation. But when things seem to be going good, they want to ignore him. Samson never got serious about living for God until at the end of his life. Turn to chapter 16 before we get ready to close. Turn to chapter 16. It wasn't until Samson got captured by enemies. They put his eyes out and they blinded him and they shackled him. Drop down to verses 20 and 21 in chapter 16. It wasn't until then that Samson finally prayed. But it was at the end of his life. Look at verse 28. It wasn't until he got to the end of his life that he prayed. Placed between two pillars of the temple. And with every last ounce of strength that God gave him in answer to his prayer, he prayed. And then the Bible says he pushed the columns down in the roof of the huge temple, collapsed, and it came crashing down and killed everybody, including Samson. Everybody that was there, and approximately about another 3,000 that were on the roof. Ultimately, here's what I want to say to somebody. Ultimately, think about the will of God. Ultimately, God's will was that Samson would deliver his people, his nation, from the Philistines, correct? And at the end, guess what? That's exactly what he did. He finally defeated the enemy. The thing is, he had his greatest victory at the end of his life. Verse 30, part B says, so the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those he killed in his life. And I began to wonder, Finley. I began to wonder, Sally, LaDon, what kind of life would Samson had? Not if he wasn't angry. Not if he didn't have lust problems. See, we want to pick the fruit. I'm trying to get to the root. I began to ask, what kind of life would Samson have had if he had prayed right from the beginning? I mean, why did he have to wait until the end, until everything was falling apart before he turned to God? Which brings me to my last point as we get ready to close. My brothers and my sisters, this would be a tragically hopeless story if it just ended there. But it doesn't. Because do you know what we find out about Samson? We find that over in the New Testament, Samson's name is mentioned in the heroes of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 19 through 34. And you'll see, yep, even Samson's name. In verse 32. And I found that comforting for me. It became comforting, Dennis, because I thought about how God could take a man, or a person, I should say, who made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, and still use him. Hear me, people of God. If God only used people who were perfect, then I don't know about you, but he sure couldn't use me. But I'm going to go even further. If God only used people who were perfect, I'm going to step out on a limb and say that I believe nothing would ever get done. Because there are no perfect people. There was only one perfect man who walked the earth. So instead, guess what? God uses ordinary people like me and you. Those who have weaknesses and those who have failed in life to do his will. And maybe as we get ready to open the doors of the church, I'm talking to somebody who feels like you've messed up your life so badly that God will never love you and use you again. But I'm going to challenge you. Just remember Samson. God never gave up on Samson, and he'll never give up on you. God sees your potential, and he remembers why he made you and what he created you for. So what should you do if you're a Samson? What should you do if you feel like you've made some mistakes in your life? Do exactly what Samson finally did. Turn it over to the Lord. Give him all the pieces and let God say this to you. I will give you the power to break loose out of those things that that are tying you down and causing your hang-ups and preventing me from working in your life. Listen, only God knows the greatness and the potential in your life, but you're never going to bring that out on your own. God must do it in his strength. So it's time for us to start today. That's Christian Survival Training 101, intending to live. That means from this day forward, we're going to have to intend to live beyond our mistakes. How? Learn from them, choose your friends wisely, take God seriously, and most importantly, never give up on God. So, who's in? Amen. The doors of the church are open. Come on, somebody. Stand to your feet as we get ready.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.